CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor. The Congressional Budget Office does projections, small calculations that mean a great deal in 10 years' time. For example, the deficit at this point in the year 2024 is expected to be, according to the CBO, $1.6 trillion. That's trillion. I don't have a concept of expressing trillion. It's a big number. I welcome Veronique DeRogier of the Mercatus Center, who writes about these projections. And we start with the baseline of $1.6 trillion. Let's just say, start with a trillion, the big number, trillion. By 2034, a good, happy outcome is that that is $2.6 trillion. It gains a trillion in a year, the deficit does. Why? Because of spending, inflation, and profligacy by the Congress. However, Veronique, a very good evening to you. I learned from you that having read these numbers, they could easily go away because the projections are off. Is that correct? What projections? What is it that the CBO does that we have no confidence in? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, so the CBO is only allowed to score, basically to project number based on what is current law. So if all of a sudden Congress decide to create another entitlement spending, well, that is not scored into this. And in the future, the spending and the deficit will be much higher. But the other thing that CBO does is it does as good as a job as it can to predict economic growth and to predict productivity of the labor force and to predict inflation and to predict the path of interest rates, right? And if it is wrong on any of these, that can have an enormous impact on the trajectory that we are on fiscally.
All right, let me give an example. Labor force. The labor force is part of their projection for this deficit number of 2.6 trillion. You write that if it's just 0.1 fewer percentage points than originally projected, it makes everything blow up. Is that right?
It has enormous implication for the deficits. So and very, very small variation can have very big impact over time. So labor force participation, if it were just a little bit slower than projected, right? I mean, CBO thinks that alone would add $300 billion over the period. But it also, of course, looks at these things in isolation. What if productivity? What if interest rate? What if inflation? And if you add them all up very quickly, you get a big, big, big number.
Now, because I'm an amateur, this wears me down, numbers. I don't like to give out numbers on the radio because you can't remember them and they don't have any meaning. A reductionist summary is somebody's fooling us. You write to us in Creator Syndicate. Back in 2020, the prevalent theory among those who claimed we shouldn't worry about debt was that interest rates were remarkably low and would stay low forever. All right, that's not true. We have the highest interest rates from the Federal Reserve in more than two decades. Did CBO know that was coming? Did they calculate on the basis of that? Will they calculate? We don't have the three cuts that Jerome Powell promised this year. Does CBO take that into account for these projections?
So CBO is wrong on a lot of things. And one of the things that CBO has been wrong on may actually surprise you, though it is on the path of interest rates. But what CBO has been projecting for a long time was that interest rates would have started growing and rising long before they actually did. So for a long time now, CBO, when doing its projection, always assumed that interest rates were going to start rising, and they didn't. They stayed low for a long time. And when they started rising, CBO, if anything, was underestimating how fast it would rise. So interest rates right now are projected to stay fairly high, but it's very likely, right, that they're going to stay not only higher for longer, but also may go up further than CBO projected. And that is actually just would have really enormous impact on our deficit, in large part because our debt is so enormous and so much of our debt is short term that you feel the impact of an increase in interest rates immediately in the form of interest payments. And this interest payments, they need to be borrowed for. And so, and it's, you know, you can, we can blame CBO, but it's remarkably hard to actually really project so far down the road. And CBO doesn't just project 10 years down the road. It also does the hard work of projecting 30 years down the road. And that's, it's more iffy, really. I mean, so it's a tough job. And this is why I actually was very appreciative that they did this exercise of saying, and what if, you know, what if we're wrong? What if actually the numbers look different?
Does President Joe Biden talk about the debt issue in his campaign? Is it part of policy from the White House that we can say what he's going to do about the deficit?
No, it's not. And to the extent that he does, it's usually to brag about the fact that he's cut the deficit. He actually barely cut the deficit. And the only reason why he's cut the deficit is because they're not spending as much as they were spending during COVID. But it's just really, it's hard to understate just how unprecedented the size of the U.S. Spending is at this particular moment. We are not in a crisis, and they're doing all of this spending financed almost entirely via short-term bonds, and it's just probably the most irresponsible thing I've seen in a long time, precisely because when you already have so much debt, even if interest rate don't, if the CBO is actually correct about interest rates, right? No matter how high the interest rates are on an enormous debt, it's really expensive in terms of interest payments.
You also posit that it's possible that everything goes wrong at once. Is that correct? We don't. I mean, there's no controlling that.
Well, yeah. I mean, a slowdown in productivity, which leads to a slowdown in economic growth,
right,
could lead to more spending, could lead to more inflation, could lead to higher interest rates. I mean, usually it's not just one thing in isolation. Usually it's all of these things together.
Quickly, 30 seconds. Would a recession help this?
No, I don't think so. I mean, the only thing it would maybe help is with inflation, but I don't know on net because there's so much, recessions are so damaging.
Your profession is like witchcraft, I believe. I'm subtly impressed with the fact you can do any of this. Good heavens, too many moving parts. Veronique Rishi reminding me that I don't understand the deficit, but I do understand government spending, which is driving inflation and driving these deficits. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.